Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we'll just begin. We'll get a little bit of feedback already, huh? All right, Proverbs chapter 1. Hope you had a good day yesterday, college students. I wish the high school students had a good day yesterday, but I just know the college students had an activity and just, you know, party all day long. It's just, that's college, right? The first day of the week, you know, well, Sunday, yeah. But then Monday, you just go out and have fun, come to class on Tuesday, and then tomorrow you have a day off. I mean, this is college life, right? Yeah, it's going to change. All right, but I hope you did have a good time yesterday. And I'm thankful I have this opportunity to preach and early in the semester because I want to help you. All right, so let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that it would be a help, a challenge, an encouragement. And ask, Lord, as I present the truths, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that we would want what you want for us. And it's your way is the best way. It provides a good life. I pray that we wouldn't be deceived by the world or listen to our nagging flesh that resists your best. And ask, Lord, that we'd have some victories. And, Lord, that as people would purpose even now, that they will do the right things to have the right results. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to begin verse number 7, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Right? They say that, why do you come to college? To get more. There you go. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wow, that last part of the verse, fools. I mean, no, most people don't want to be called a fool, right? If I come up to you and say, you are a fool, you're going to be highly happy, right? No, you're going to be really offended. It's like, what do you mean I'm a fool? No one wants to hear that. But God says fools despise, they disregard, they hate. They don't want anything to do with wisdom and instruction. So apply that just to regular everyday life. You go to class and it's like, you don't really care what the teacher's having to say. What does that make you? When you come to chapel or you go to church and they're presenting the Word of God, trying to pour their hearts and lives into you. They've prayed over the message. They're probably thinking of many of the people in the congregation. I hope this will help them. And then they present it and then people are just like, yeah, whatever. What does that make us if we act that way? Oh, okay. Now, I don't think any of you are here today saying, man, my goal in life is to be a fool, right? So I want to approach this message a little differently. You know, you come into the beginning of a school year for the high school students and the college students, and you think, well, you know, what would be a good message to preach? You know, how to have a good school year, right? That's so, you know, cliche. So I'm going to take it from the other angle. I want to preach a message entitled, How to Have a Bad School Year. And if you follow these tips, I guarantee you will have a bad school year. Now, I don't want you to have a bad school year, and I'm giving these things to you hoping that you won't follow them. All right? So yeah, I know some of it's going to be tongue-in-cheek, but as you go along, you'll see, oh, I do some of those things, and I better take this seriously because this is going to lead to a bad, not only a bad school year, but a bad life. So anyway, let's just look at this here. Again, I don't want you to have a bad school year, but if you want to, just follow the points of this message to a T, and I guarantee you will have a bad school year. You know, if you had a bad school year last year, don't make any changes. And guess what? You'll have another bad school year, right? So for some people, if you want to have a bad school year, just keep doing what you're doing, okay? But if you want to have a good school year, just do the opposite of what I tell you today. So here's the first one. If you can turn to Psalm 119, we will look at a couple verses there. So first thing, if you want to have a bad school year, skip your devotions. Maybe some of you, you're already off to a good start today. You already skipped your devotions. You maybe said, well, I'll get to that later when I have time. I didn't have time this morning. You know, it was a busy day yesterday. I was tired. I wanted to have breakfast, and, you know, just one thing led to another. And I'll get to it sometime. Besides, we have chapel today. I don't really need devotions. Well, if you want to have a bad school year and a bad life, just skip your devotions. Just skip them. Right? Because this is the most important tip I can give you to have a rotten life. And we see here in Psalm 119, because reading the Bible will do all sorts of good things for you. So if you don't want those good things, just don't do it. So look at with me in verse 28. So reading your Bible and praying and crying out to God, you know, it gives you strength. And you're going to need strength through the school year if you want a good year. But if you don't want a good year, anyway, let's read it. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to what? Thy word. So God's word gives us strength. If you don't want strength, don't read and heed the Bible. What else does the Bible do for us? In verse number 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So here the psalmist is crying out. He's praying for understanding. He's looking to God's word for understanding. So no student needs understanding, right? Of course we need understanding. We need understanding. We need wisdom to live the Christian life. And so if you want to have a good school year, you're going to have understanding and wisdom. The Bible will give it to you. But if you don't want it, stay away from this book, man. This book is poison for the people who want to have a bad life. And then also we can look over in verse 50. You know, times are not going to get tough in school. Of course they are, right? And verse number 50, and I'm sure by now nobody is homesick. But verse 50, this is my, what? Comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So when we're down and we get into the Word of God, God's Word gives us comfort. It gives us that strength. It gives us peace. It helps us and have assurance. I can get through this. But if you don't want that comfort, just stay away from the book. Then we see also, if you run over with me to verse 105, thy Word is what? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's word will show us a direction to take. It gives us guidance. It illuminates our path. It helps us to see things that we might trip up on. But if you don't want to avoid tripping up and you like to fall and you want to get injured spiritually, then just go ahead and neglect the word of God. Verse number 117 goes along with that idea. Hold thou me up and I shall be what? Safe. So God's word gives us safety. We have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. We have so many things. I mean, Proverbs talks about the adulterous woman hunting and seeking the precious life. There are so many things against us, and so we need safety from those things. But if you don't want safety, then you have to do what? Get in the neglect the word of God. Here's another thing in verse number 133. Another thing the word of God will do for us, it gives us victory. So if you want to stay defeated in life, ignore the Bible. We find it here in verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Sin has a way of having dominion over us. It dominates us, and that's because we yield to it, and then we become a slave to it, and it's our master. But if you want to have victory over sin, get in the Word of God. Again, as I said, read it and heed it. You follow it, and God will give you a good life. But if you don't want that good life, as we said, if you want to have a bad school year, skip your devotions. Skip your devotions. I'll give you one more here in verse number 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, but some people like to live their lives offended. They are always looking for some, oh, you said this, you looked at me this way. They like to be offended. And the reason why people get offended so much is because they're not letting the Word of God rule their lives. So if you don't like that phrase, great peace, then just stay out of the book. But if you want peace, and not just peace, but great peace, and you want a life where you're not offended by everything and everybody all the time, well, you know what to do, don't you? So we're right there. Let's look at the next psalm, Psalm 120, verse number 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he did what? He heard me. Oh, aren't these precious words? You're going to have distressing times, not just this school year, but throughout life. And when we cry out to God, he will hear us. He will help us. So if you want to have a bad year, don't pray. When things get rough, Google something. Talk to a friend, a peer. Don't get in the Word of God because it might straighten your thinking out. Don't pray because God might help. All right? So, as I said, some people might already have this point down, right? Skip your devotions. And if you have this down, well, you're well on your way to having a rotten school year. Let's give you the second thing you can do to have a bad school year. Keep the same bad habits as you had last year. That's number two. Keep the same bad habits as you had last year. So what got you into trouble last year? Whatever it is, do it again. Don't learn from your mistakes. Sleep in and miss your devotions. Don't start projects too early. When you have opportunities, cheat. Right? Any online class, you know, forget the proctor. Just kind of pretend like you had a proctor or whatever, you know. Always catch an attitude when someone tries to correct you. That's a really good way to have a bad school year. Okay, so what you want to do is keep those same bad habits. Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." So when you stumble, if you want to have a bad school year, don't get back up. Don't dust yourself off. Don't confess your sin. Don't seek help. When you mess up, just stay down, wallow in it for a while. Don't change a thing, and you will continue to have a rotten life. Now, of course, I'm preaching this in a way that, no, I don't want that, right? But we do these things, and that's why we get those results, right? They say play stupid games, get stupid prizes, and we do the same thing, don't we, right? And so let me give you the third thing you need to do if you want to have a bad school year. Make excuses. Make excuses, right? Just remember, it's never your fault. Really? It's never your fault. It's always someone else's fault. And if you get demerits, it's the teacher's fault. Obviously, it's them. It's not you, so get angry at them because they're the bad people, right? They're the ones that just kind of enforce the rules. So when you get a bad grade, just remember, it was a stupid test question. It really was, right? Or the assignment was just way too hard. It's never your fault. If you want to have a bad school year, you want to have a terrible life, just remember, always, it's never your fault. It's someone else's. If you want to learn that real well, just go to a therapist. They'll help you with this. They'll help you blame everybody for every problem you've ever had in your entire life. And people are blogging the fire out of anybody who's ever done anything wrong to them or perceived done wrong to them. They don't grow up and just get over it. And they spend their entire life attacking and lashing out at people that maybe didn't even mean to do what they did. So, Proverbs 26, verse 13, "The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way." A lion is in the streets. Now, how many lions do you think there were walking around the streets of Jerusalem? Probably not that many. So, really, what is this? It's just an absolute excuse. He's just lazy. He doesn't want to get up and go to work. So he says, there's a lion out there. No, there's not. Just excuse making. And it's an absurd example, but that's how some of our excuses end up. Being absolutely absurd. And we believe them. So always, again, make excuses for everything. Always see the bad in everything. Ignore the principle of sowing and reaping. I mean, you couldn't possibly deserve the problems that you have, right? You didn't sow any of the seeds that grew up into the problems that you have now, right? Just ignore that principle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, it's in the Bible, but just don't think about it. Okay. Also, remember that personal accountability is not something you have to really worry about right now. You can deal with that later. I mean, after all, why worry about giving an account for what you do today? I mean, you're going to have to do that in eternity. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. So you're going to have to do that then. So why worry about it now? Just live life like you want to. No, don't live like you want to now, because there is an accountability. And there's accountability in this life too. And if we refuse to make excuses for ourselves and we correct the things that are lacking in our lives, we might just end up having a good school year and a good life. But if you don't want one, just do the opposite. Keep making excuses. It's not your fault. Good stuff, isn't this? This is good stuff. Bad advice. Let me give you four. Another way to have a bad school year is just say this. Say, I can't. I can't. Freshman college students come in, one class after another, and it's like, this course requirements. And they're looking at the course requirements, and they say, this class right here is more schoolwork I did in my entire schoolwork last year. And every class thinks that I have all this time in the world. Well, you do have time. And this is college. And why did you come?
Well, I had to have a good time.
Sorry. That was yesterday. Everything you will face this year is too hard. Just mark it down. I can't do this. It's too hard. I cannot do this. Nobody has ever had it as difficult as you. Just keep that in mind if you want to have a bad school year. All right? For some reason, those math problems, high school students, are easy for everyone else, but you can't do them. Nope. Even though millions of other people have passed geometry before. But you can't do them. It's not possible. Philippians 4:13 is in the Bible, but you don't want to have to think about this one too much. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So if you read the Bible and believe it, you just might be able to do those things that you think are too difficult. So if you want to have a bad school year, don't believe the promises of the Bible. You can't do it. Just say it. I can't do it. I can't make it through. I can't get over homesickness. I can't get all the schoolwork done. I just can't. Just say, I don't want to believe the Bible. And you'll be on your way. Number five, don't plan your time. You know, those freshman students who are in ministry essentials, they heard that teacher say, you know, get a planner and write things down and plan things out. What does he know? He doesn't know much of it. That's probably true. But anyway, Psalm 90, verse number 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That's what God said to do. Get the best use of our time, plan our days, use our time wisely. So if you want to have a bad school year, don't write anything down. If your ministry leader gives you a schedule, just set it aside. Don't write down, I've got verse tokens 3 weeks from today. whatever it is, all those due dates from, you know, just wait till your roommate says, hey, have you gotten this thing done? And then say, no, but thanks for reminding me. Rely on them. Okay? Don't check to see when things are due. Spend as much time in the gym as possible. Go to the cafe, get on your phone, really stay in bed as long as you can, and after they come in and do the dorm check, go back to bed. Right? Do all that you can to avoid using your time wisely. And of course, if you plan your time and get your projects done when they're due, you might have good grades and you might actually feel a sense of satisfaction and happiness. So be careful not to do that. Okay? That's if you want to have a bad school year. All right, let me give you number six. You say, how many did you have? A lot. No, I have 12, so we're almost halfway done, isn't it? This is pretty good. We're keeping time. Number six, don't get help. When you're struggling, don't get help. No, no, no. That's for weak people. Okay? Again, high schoolers, just because a teacher gives you their number and says, hey, call me when you're struggling with something, don't believe them. Don't do it. Don't do it. They just might help you, and you might be able to figure out the assignment, and yeah. And college students, don't ask your teachers to clarify anything. Don't ask questions in class. Don't ask questions after class. In fact, all of you students, when you see the teachers in the hallway, run the opposite direction. I mean, don't even get into casual conversation. They might just say, how are things going? How can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help? Just avoid them because they might help you. And if they help you, you can't possibly have a bad school year that way. Oh, so please, whatever you do, don't get help. So if you realize that your teachers want you to do well and you ask them for help, you might just end up enjoying things a little bit better. We started our message this morning with Proverbs 1:7. The last part of that verse says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So make this your life verse if you want to be a failure. All right? I want to be a fool. I want to despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to get help. I'm not going to ask anybody for anything. I just want to keep on doing what I'm doing. And there you go. You'll have it. Let me give you number seven. Oh, this is an easy one. So if you're writing notes down, this is like a one-word one. Procrastinate. You say, Pastor Olson, I already have that one down. Well, then you already know the results of that. I mean, you're halfway to having a peptic ulcer. Okay? You say, but I work better under pressure. You might. But nobody else enjoys being around you when you're all uptight and high-strung. Just leave me alone. I'm working on this. Sorry. A little bit bristly there. So, again, procrastinate. If you want to have a bad school year, make sure you put things off. Don't ever start an assignment early. Don't even look for the book report until, like, the night before, okay? And forget about long-term projects. Long-term? Oh, man. That just sounds bad. I got to keep working on the long term. Allow that grade to slip, okay, so that you can carry the weight of failing right to the end of the semester. It's a good feeling. I mean, you will feel good about yourselves that way. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So the Bible says, if you want to have a good life, you redeem the time. Just make a good use of all the time. You get 5 minutes here or 10 minutes there. Don't use it to blow it doing something that you're not gonna. It's not gonna help you. Use it to do something profitable. If you get an extra 15 minutes, read a chapter in your book. Oh, I can do that. Yeah, you could do that. Or you can get online and waste all that time. And then when the assignments are due, you say, I just didn't have time. It's like way too much schoolwork. No, you had time. Check your screen time on your phone. And you say, oh, I spent 6 hours? There's no way I spent 6 hours. You did. You spent 6 hours on your phone. If you had put half of that, Just half of that into your schoolwork, you would do really, really well, but no one, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't redeem the time. Because the Bible said to do it. Don't redeem the time. So waste as much time as possible. Procrastinate. And when you have a few minutes here and there, never use it to pray. Never use it to study. Just blow it the best way you can. And you say, I do pretty good at that already. Well, like I said, you're on your way to having some bumps in the road on your school year. So really a good motto for life, if you want to follow this, is just live for the present, never for the future. Don't deny yourself now. Indulge now and let the future take care of itself. And it will. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He wants good grades, but he won't study. He wants his school bill paid, but he doesn't want to go to work. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So really, just remember, it's okay to desire things, but don't do anything to get them. Just be lazy. If you want to have a bad school year. Okay. All right, so procrastinate. Let me give you number 8. Surround yourself with friends who will never correct you. This is another way that's really, really important to have a bad life, actually. So I know sometimes the freshmen come in and you see them starting to get together and you see them start forming relationships, and sometimes, you know, we're like, I don't know about that one. And then some people realize, that might not be the best friendship. Let me just get over here. And they might actually have a better school year because they get away from those ones who might not be the best influence. Proverbs 27, verse number 17, says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Good friends will sharpen you. They'll make you sharp. They'll make you better. But you don't need that if you want to have a bad school year. So stay away from those good people. The people who want to keep the rules, avoid those guys, okay? The ones who want to talk in class and talk about the teacher, those are the ones you want to hang out with and get in as much trouble, you know, privately, you know, as you can. So get some friends that will allow you to be bad when you're around them, okay? And actually, they might even want to get in trouble with you together. Those are the friends you want to have. And so if you see someone being bad, just chum up with them and then just and do the same things they do. Cover for each other. Hey, I saw you do this, and I won't tell on you if you don't tell on me. Oh, that is sweet. You know, I mean, if you can cover for each other, you got something on me, I got something on you, it's all good. We're just not going to, yeah. And sometimes not even spoken, it's just kind of understood. That's if you want to have a bad school year and a bad life. Surround yourself with those friends who will never correct you. And if there's some good kids that try to they're just trying to do what's right, and they slip up and stumble, laugh at them. Never forgive them. And just deride them and say, look at them. They said they were so good, and they messed up. Oh, yeah. Just make sure you have the bad friends. If you want a bad school year, let me give you the next one. Number 9, make a joke about everything. Make a joke about everything. Because the life is a joke. There's nothing serious in life, right? Don't be serious. You know those verses in the Bible say, be sober, right? Be serious, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, right? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to be serious? Because you might actually avoid some of the attacks of the devil. You might actually be on a good path in life. You might not destroy yourself by doing something stupid. So give yourself over to having fun, making fun of the teacher, you know, if he or she makes a mistake. You know, being a fool is a sure way to have a bad school year. So try to follow these verses here. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin. So just laugh about sinful things, mock it. And then it says, Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. It's like, hey, let's see if I can get away with this. Watch this. See if I can get away with this in class, huh? And you get your friend's attention. Just check this out. Yeah, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. So people who do that, I didn't say this, God said it, they're fools. Absolute fools. They're void of any common sense. And there's a lot of judgment pending on fools. So, if you want to have a bad school year and a bad life, don't be serious. Make a joke about everything. Mock sin. And play that game of being mischievous. Number 10, this kind of goes along with this. Break the rules. Break the rules. Those rules in the handbook, tell yourself and remind yourself that, you know, some of those rules, they're not even in the Bible. Is that true? Some of those rules aren't in the Bible. Of course it's true. Therefore, because it's not in the Bible, it's not sin if you break them. Tell yourself that, okay? And if you start to think that spiritual authority should be obeyed and the rules that they've laid out, you might start having a better school year. And don't read verses like Hebrews 13:17 that says, obey them that have the rule over you. Oh, so it actually is in the Bible. You know, the rule in the rule book might not be spelled out in the scripture, but when your spiritual authorities have placed that in your life, God expects you to do it. And when you disobey that rule, you've disobeyed the authority that God put in your life. And that is sin. And you can go through your whole school year, your whole life, justifying all the things that you do wrong. But anyway, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Why? They are looking out for you. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy. They want you to have a good life. They want to be happy about how you turn out. And not with grief. Why? For that is unprofitable for who? For you. So, if being a grief to your authorities is unprofitable for you, well, then don't submit to them. And you'll have a terrible school year. Let me give you number 11. Hold grudges. Oh, just hold grudges. Just never forgive anybody. When they offend you, they hurt you, don't forgive them. Do not do that. Wow. Okay, this is going to, you know, this will cause trouble in your soul, and it'll hurt other people if you hold on to bitterness. It's a real, you know, they talk about win-win situation. This is a real lose-lose situation. So this is good if you want to have a bad school year. It says, looking diligently, Hebrews 12:15, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So that root of bitterness will hurt you, and it's going to hurt other people in the process. So if you want trouble for you and other people, just hold that grudge. Don't forgive. You know, you're going to need forgiveness one day. And if you get forgiveness from other people, and if you get forgiveness from God, you'll be happy, you'll feel good. But you don't want to feel good if you want to have a bad life. So don't forgive others. Be bitter. Hold that grudge. The Bible says, Jesus spoke in Matthew 6:15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you don't want God's forgiveness, and you want to hold on to guilt, and you want to have a miserable life, just be bitter to everybody else. Don't forgive anybody. And just build a case against everybody that you could possibly build against. And you will have a terrible life. Let me give you number 12. Refuse to set goals. If you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So don't try to better yourself. Just always tell yourself, I'm okay just the way I am. accept being mediocre. And if someone else seems better in some area than you, just say, well, they got it and I don't, and that's okay, I'm happy for them. And actually, you're not happy for them, because if you were happy for them, then you wouldn't be having a terrible life. So anyway, just get used to having bad grades. A D and an F, I mean, why would that bother you? Right? Why would that bother you? Be satisfied with losing every game if you're on a sports team. If you're on the bench, that's even better. Don't work at trying to be a starter. Just float through life, you know. You know, the problem with some people is that they want to be better, and they have plans to make themselves better. That's a problem, isn't it? I'm giving you a lot of tongue-in-cheek here. I understand that. Compare yourself to others and say, I'm good enough, if you want to have a mediocre life. What made Paul successful was that he had a mark, a goal that he was pursuing in life, right? The Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So if you want to have a school year, don't do that. Don't set goals. Don't say, I want to be better at this. I want to conquer this. I want to have victory over this. I want to have good friends. Just refuse to do anything that'll make you better. You're just okay the way you are. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Now, isn't those last two statements, isn't that what we hear promoted everywhere in society now? You're just okay the way you are, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You know what? That's a mantra for saying, here's how to be a loser the rest of your life. And the world is accepting it hook, line, and sinker. Now, I think you understand now how to have a bad school year, how to have a terrible life, and I think you realize that none of us want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. Your parents don't want you to have that. Well, they're always getting on me. Why? Because they want you to actually have a good life. Why do we keep hearing the same things over and over? Because we don't listen. Parents, your pastors, your teachers, they want the best for you. If you don't want to have a disastrous school year, do the opposite of what I told you today. If you're honest, you'll say, I'm already doing some of those things. I think you see the results. Let's get off of that path and get on the right path so that God can bless us. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You're going to be tempted in these areas that we discussed today. You might even be conquered by some of them. So be careful. Which path are you going to choose? The one that leads you to a bad school year, a bad life, or the one that lead to victory? Skip your devotions. Keep the same bad habits as last year. Make excuses. Say, I can't. Don't plan your time. Don't get help. Procrastinate. Surround yourself with friends who will never correct you. Make a joke about everything. Break the rules. Hold grudges and refuse to set goals. Don't better yourself at all. It's pretty terrible advice. Father, I pray that you'd work in the invitation. Lord, your word is pretty clear about how we can have a good life. And so often we choose the exact opposite. And then we feel terrible and miserable. And we don't like feeling terrible and miserable, but we don't make the decisions to make the changes that we need to make. Lord, help us to realize that your way is the best way. And those people are trying to help us get on that right path. They're not our enemies. They are our friends. Lord, help us not to resist them, fight back, despise wisdom and instruction. I pray the There'll be some good decisions that'll last not just a school year, but throughout a lifetime. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, and music begins to play. If you need to talk to the Lord, come now.